Hello, friends. Kyle Tierman here, and welcome to another episode of the podcast. Before we get this going, I want to send a big thank you to everyone who is a subscriber over at tierman.substack.com. That's where I post this podcast, my newsletters, my articles. It's all over at tierman.substack.com. You can comment on episodes. You can get in touch with me. It's where I read the comments. I reply to them. It's just a good spot. And an extra big thank you to all of you who are paid subscribers over there. For just $7 a month, you can support this podcast, the equivalent of an overpriced cup of coffee. And that allows me to prioritize bringing audio to you on a regular basis amidst the shitstorm that is adult life. And I had a really great time on this podcast. This one was recorded from Chattanooga, Tennessee, a little town that you may or may not have heard of, with the creative director at an ad agency called Humanaut, which you may or may not have heard of. And they specialize in putting ideas out into culture that you have most definitely heard of. Steven was the guy who came up with the idea for dripping Tony Hawk's blood into a skateboard and selling it at auction for a campaign that was done for Liquid Death. Check out Humanaut, humanaut.is. They are very impressive with the way that they come up with ideas, everything from creative strategy, creative development, to in-house production. While I was out there for the week, I got to see them working on a commercial, which was elucidating, to say the least. And they were all very kind and generous and opened up their toolkit. And that is what this podcast really is all about. Steven knows how to come up with a lot of really good ideas really fast, and he has a process that I think applies well beyond advertising, as many of these podcasts do. So I hope that this episode is helpful to anyone, regardless of whether or not you work in advertising. This really is an episode about psychology and how to create ideas that can go places. If you enjoy this podcast and you want more episodes like it, I recommend that you check out episode number 299 with the creative director at Vice, Dersu Rhodes. We talk about similar stuff. Episode number 317 with the founder of Sir Kensington's, Scott Norton. Or episode number 327, Lessons from RX Bar with Charlie Hart. Those three episodes plus this fourth episode really are an education. They certainly were to me in creative advertising and the business of ideas. Without further preamble, please welcome to the podcast, Steven Priesman.
Kyle Tierman here. I'm in Cape Town.
I was the only journalist in northern Nigeria.
Not an adventure until you get lost in Tijuana.
You get caught inside by a giant wave, you feel really alone.
I love the adventure of waking up and not knowing what will happen and that being my job.
I'm standing at a desert oasis right now.
A lot of tourists don't see this part of Bali.
Smiles and thumbs up. Thumbs up.
All right, Steven Priesman.
Yes, yes.
On the mic.
I usually say Priesman, but
Priesman.
There's no real official pronunciation.
I said it with a lot of oomph because I wasn't sure.
Yeah,
Priesman.
I mean, it's not a real word, so it's really up to interpretation. I have like all my family members saying it in a different way, but I like Priesman. Sounds, I don't know, it just sounds good. But
well, let's start from the beginning. So you're from Canada.
I am from Canada.
Okay.
From Toronto, Canada.
Yeah. You're remarkably impolite for a Canadian.
Am I impolite?
No, you're in the best way possible. Like you have you are forceful about the ideas that you believe in. And
yes.
I've always known Canadians to be more kind of standoffish.
I mean, I'm pretty nice outside of work. I go into two modes. I have a work mode and I have a life mode.
Mm.
At work, I want my way. I have a vision. outside of work. I'm just trying to chill, just trying to hang out with my friends. So yeah, you've just probably seen work me outside, but you've seen a little bit outside of work.
No, we've been hanging, right? We've been hanging a bit.
I was polite.
Too. No, you're very polite. You're very polite. You're very polite. You just you come up with a lot. You strike me as someone who just has an ability to come up with a lot of ideas on command.
Yes.
Has that always been the case for you?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I didn't really realize it until it became my career.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been that way through school. But when I was younger, I wanted to make video games, and I'd always have video game ideas. I'd always do a lot of writing. I'd always do, you know, but I never realized when I was younger that you could make. First of all, I didn't even realize I was creative. I wasn't even thinking about how other people are thinking or what other people are doing. And then my mom, she's from, you know, Romania, Eastern Europe immigrant. And she was like, you got to be a lawyer, doctor, whatever. So I went to, you know, I went to school for computer science and math because Maclean's magazine, I don't know how they're doing right now, but at the time they were like the Canadian magazine, news magazine, kind of like Time, but worse, you know, Canadian worse Time. And then and they had like every year the university rankings, and I was like number one. So my mom's like, you have to go to Waterloo. And so I went there and I hated it and I was miserable and I dropped out and I dropped out and then I put a post out on Craigslist looking for someone who, if anyone wants to make a video game with me. And I met a few people, and I met this one friend, Patrick Lowe, who was a graphic designer. I was like, you can do that for a living? You know, and it was kind of like a little bit of initiative in, you know, trying to find people to work on a project with, because I always had these ideas. But then a little bit of luck too in meeting this guy who's excellent. He just happened to be one of the best designers in fucking Canada. He won like the Doritos $1 million ad contest. He like created Jurassic Park Melodica, which then like Universal Studios like stole the revenue on that after. Whoa.
And so he was your first foray into advertising. You're not a kid saying, it was more like, into I want to be a copywriter, creative director.
No. It was more into the creative world. And I like, and something just clicked for me there. So it was a little bit of luck, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of people like that they don't like, I mean, you go through high school and no one tells you like that this is a possibility that you could go do creative stuff. That's always like, no one even tells you there's money in that.
Right.
But then like I discovered it, I was like, that's a job. And I went to the same school as him, graduated graphic design, advertising creative director, came into the school one day, asked to see everyone's portfolio, and then invited me to that. It was from Wonderman, you know, the agency Wonderman. Mm-hmm. His name was Alan Kwong. Shout out if he's one of the 5,000 listeners you have an episode-ish. I don't know. Yeah, shout out to him. And he told me to come check out the office, and they put a letter on the table at the end of the tour, and they offered me a job on the spot. And then, so I slowly slipped into advertising, and I would be at these jobs where I'd come up with like a bajillion ideas. Right. And no one cared. No one wanted to hear them. You know, it was just all these, like, I think a lot of gatekeeping, a lot of like, just, I don't know, like the advertising industry itself is not that creative, but so you got to get a little lucky and find the right place where they appreciate you.
Right.
You know, and
so this was where you were going in Canada?
This was in Canada.
In Canada. So you're going in 5 days a week into the office?
I was going 5 days a week into the office in Wonderman. That job only lasted like 2 months.
Okay.
I got, he put me on like the creative group head took me on, and he fired me because I knew like nothing about advertising, because I went to school for graphic design.
Right.
And I was pretty pissed off. I was like, you knew I came from graphic design. Like, you should teach me.
Right.
But he was like, I don't have the time. He was like, your portfolio looks really nice. Like, it was pretty because I was a designer. But after that, I went and became a graphic designer at Crispin Porter Bogusky. But I always saw in Toronto, which was formerly Zig, and the creative director there, or one of, was Aaron Starkman, who's now the head of Rethink.
Okay.
And I noticed that the copywriters and art directors would do like the fun ideating stuff. So I was like, I want to get back in there. And so I started learning off the people at CPB. And then after that, when I started applying at jobs after, I just said I was already an art director, even though I kind of like lied a little bit. I was like, I was a designer, but I was like, yeah, I'm an art director.
So your first foray into copywriting was at Crispin?
No, I was still an art director for a while. I would say the first time I really started messing around with copywriting was at Sid Lee. I was like a permalancer there. For some reason, they never wanted to hire me full time. I was there for like 3.5 years as a permalancer. I don't know. That place was a little bit stuck up. There's one guy that liked me.
Mm. Did you have anyone teach you copywriting?
Honestly, Humanaut was the first place like to really teach me copywriting. When I was at a lot of other places, Sidley was the first place where I started just really submitting a ton of ideas. Like, I remember there was like something for the Leafs 100th anniversary, and I came up with a ton of ideas. One of them was really good. It was like the Leafs didn't win the cup since 1967.
Mm-hmm.
So I proposed to have like a whiskey that that would stay in a barrel, and it would be aged. It wouldn't be opened up until the Leafs won the cup.
Mm-hmm.
So the longer it takes, the better it gets. That right. was kind of the idea, and they loved it, and they brought it to like Diageo, who owns like a lot of alcohol companies, but they didn't go with it for whatever reason.
Right.
But I started pitching a lot of ideas there, and I started, and then I worked at like InOcean after, who did Kia, and I started writing the radio script. So I just started doing it for fun. But like the thing that they don't really tell you is a lot of ad agencies, they just put people in there, and they're just like, go, do stuff. And it's no wonder then that like a lot of work is just bad. Like what happened was, I wanted to make my way to the States eventually. I was like, this is the big leagues, and I was on a site called Working Not Working.
Yep.
A creative site for creatives, and I saw Humanaut there, and I messaged everyone, but Humanaut was one of them, and I started submitting ideas, and I would submit a ton, and they were like impressed by how many ideas I would give them, like the number of them, and I thought that was normal. So, like, that is my main strength. I'm not trying to like Brett, but like my main thing is I can come up with, ideas. Just to finish, a quick thing is I was doing work for them remote. They told me eventually, why don't you come to Chattanooga? And then I did that. And Humanaut honestly was the first place I had ever been to where like David actually took the time to like say like what makes a good script. Here's like really actually like. Like training, like, and he before went to Crispin Porter Bogusky, where I think Alex Bogusky really told him stuff.
Right.
And I was like surprised now in hindsight, like, why don't they tell you anything? Right. Like, they don't like good practices, even if you went to like advertising school, right? Like there's so much bad practices in advertising. But Humanaut, I came there as an art director still, even though I was writing for fun, because really, copywriter in a way is like you're coming up with the ideas. Like the art director helps too, but in a way, it's usually made like you jam together. So
I want to get into this because most people who are listening to this are not in advertising.
Mm.
Most people barely even know what a copywriter is.
That's true.
When I say I work as a copywriter, they're like, oh, like is that like legal stuff? Or it is remarkably for how big the ideas are that come out of ad agencies. They're a remarkably invisible industry.
That's true. And it's funny because the people in advertising think of themselves as such a big deal.
It's
when
so
like
hilarious.
Really outside of advertising, like no one even knows, cares, except for the big hits.
Right.
And then even then they don't know who made it.
No, absolutely. Well, I think people assume, everyone assumes that if you see a campaign from a brand, it came from the brand.
The funny thing is it gets... when you see it in the news, it almost gets portrayed that way.
Yeah.
They get the credit. It's like you're the white label. It's hard to, like, you got to go dig, like, who made that campaign? Sometimes I see a campaign, I got to, like, dig.
For sure.
Or sometimes it's on Adweek.
I want to, like, pull back a little bit for people.
I hope
who
I didn't say too much and then people are lost in
you're
the whole
great.
Okay.
You're great. Don't worry. You just go. You're the tornado. I'm going to guide you.
Yes. Guide me, please, sensei.
So, when you're talking about coming up with good ideas, what is the goal? If a brand comes to you, what are you trying to do for them? Why do they hire you?
Yes. I mean, the main goal, I mean, the truth is there's almost two kinds of advertising in a way. I mean, the goal of advertising is to make brands famous so people will buy more of their product and they'll make more money, right? Like, it's actually kind of crazy when you think about it that like a company will come to us and we're like on the smaller end of things. We're like more a boutique shop. Like we punch way above our weight at Humanaut, but like it's, you know, let's say $1 million together with creative and production, let's say, or maybe even less, like, I don't know, like 750, who knows? Could be less, could be more. Let's say around a million. And then their media is like $3 million. So they just spent $4 million and it's like worth it. Like that $4 million they spent, they're going to make more than that back, ideally.
So you're a mid-sized company and you're growing and you say, okay, I'm going to come to Humanaut.
Yes.
I'm going to give these guys $1 million.
Yes.
And then we're going to put $3 million into like Facebook ads, into YouTube, into getting this message out there.
Yeah.
And most of the time, what you're getting is a 30-second commercial, maybe a 60-second commercial.
A 30, a 15, sixes are become bigger than ever because TikTok and skippableness. And
so you're putting like potentially most of your yearly marketing budget into this, you're giving it to this agency, depending on the size of the company. But for a lot of the companies that are working with Humanaut, it's a lot of their marketing budget. And they're basically betting that in 30 seconds of attention, this team can create something that is going to somehow allow them to become more relevant and sell more products.
Yes.
But there is something like weird and mystical that I want to unpack, that I want to get your perspective about like, why is it that relevance and fame sells products?
Oh, we're getting deep here. I mean, I just want to go back and say one other thing, just to complete one thing I want to say. Like, so some companies can like, this relates to this. Some companies have so much money, they can brute force the fame. Mm-hmm. They don't even need good stuff, right? They can just, like, Coca-Cola can just, who knows how much, like, hundreds of millions of dollars they spend. Their ad can be good, it can be bad, whatever, but they're just everywhere. Mm-hmm. That's it. They're famous. Our kind of agency and other agencies like us, the goal is they don't have as much money. A lot of time, like, companies will come to us when their revenues are somewhere around $100 million, right? Let's say gross, you know, not like, you know, and this is what I hear. I don't know. I'm not a numbers guy, but like, it's somewhere around there. Like, your marketing is like 3 to 5%.
Well, I also think that like what we're talking about here applies to any company at any size.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
But
so what is it that you're, I'm going to go back to the original question. Yes. What is it that you're trying to do for them?
Yeah, I mean, what we're trying to do is we're trying to create our kind of content that's not the brute force kind of content. It has to be educational. Like, it has to, like, make you learn about the product, because often we're dealing with products that are not just like, it's candy, eat it. You know, it's like, what's the unique, interesting thing about the product? So it's educational, and then it's also entertaining, right? Because you can have ads that are entertaining, but you don't know what it was for. You're like, what was that for again? And then you can have ads are educational, but it's boring. So like, we're trying to create content that is memorable. You learn something about the product, and like, ultimately it's more, you can try to describe it in words all you want, but like, a lot of it is just feeling. Like, did they get it? Did it stick in their head? Did they like it? Do they like you? Like, a lot of it, like, you can break it down into the whole algorithm of it, but really you're just trying to make something that stands out and that people like, and that'll make them like the product. Ideally, the product is good, so it's not too hard to convince them.
Right.
But yeah, that's kind of... Did I answer the question
there?
You did.
So let's get into now how you come up with ideas, right? So let's... And maybe we can use the Liquid Death Blood Board as an example.
Yes.
Because that's one that really worked. Like, how... What was from the moment you got that brief to the moment that the idea came, what does that look like?
For sure. Well, first of all, I mean, Liquid Death did a lot of things right already. Like, they gave us like a good foundation from which to work, which is that like, they're making edgy, interesting things. They make the kind of things that other companies say they want to do, but they're too afraid to do. But it's like started by a guy who worked in advertising. So like, you know, so they're trying to create edgy stuff off the bat, which is, maybe I'll get into it. I'm guessing, because I think I've told you this in the past. I do have a sort of list of variables that I go through, like a checklist of things that make something likely to be famous. But with that one in particular, once again, kind of teed us up a little bit in a way, but not like they had an in with Tony Hawk. Mm-hmm. So for anyone that doesn't, I'll just go through it and then I'll tell you guys what it ended up being. But they had an in with Tony Hawk. Everyone knows Liquid Death. They're like, what do we do with Tony Hawk to make to get attention for Liquid Death? Right. That was the brief, pretty simple brief. A lot of people have celebrities but use them in stupid ways. Like they're just like, oh, let's just have the celebrity appear and say, hey, I like Sprite.
Right. Right. It's a football player with a football in his hand.
Exactly. And it's like, that's just like, sure, you will get some attention because you have, like, you have, everyone knows who this athlete is, but like, you could do more. Like, you could hit on so many more cylinders. Is that the term?
Yeah. Well, it becomes surprising when you're using the celebrity in a unique way.
Exactly.
An unexpected
way. Exactly. You want to use them in a clever way and ideally connected. Because here's the let's step backwards just one second. Generally, the key to making something successful is you got your product that no one really cares about. Like, no one cares about your sponges, you know, no one cares about your eggs, no one cares, you know, whatever the product is, or your blender. You want to attach it to something that people do care about. But you still want to do it in a way that people come back knowing about your product and not just like, you want to attach it to your product in a clever, clear way where you're still remembering the product and it's not just like overshadowed by the thing, you know? So anyway, in the case of like the Tony Hawk, Bloodboard, the original idea for it actually. So what we wanted to do is what is Tony Hawk known for? Like, he's known for skateboarding, right? So we should probably do a skateboard thing, right? Like, we probably shouldn't get Tony Hawk to play basketball, right? It's like, we want to do like, we're just like making a list of anything and everything associated with Tony Hawk. And then we're trying to like create these clever connections. So he skateboards. So one thing is you could talk about skateboarding. You could talk about the half pipe, about the park. Could we create a unique kind of park? Could we create a unique kind of skateboard gear? Like where, right? One idea that we're thinking about, it wasn't exactly a skateboard thing, but there was this meme going on at the time about like people thinking that someone is Tony Hawk, but they're not.
Mm.
So one of our ideas that didn't make the cut was like a how to recognize Tony Hawk video. It was like very meta. It was like very of the time. See, I'm already saying it. Probably people forget that meme, which is a weakness of the idea.
So you're coming up with lists of associations.
Lists
right?
of associations.
This is really interesting because yes. I think that a lot of brands get a lot of bad marketing is just platitudes.
Yes.
Right? And a lot of the words that they're using surrounding their brand mean nothing. It's sort of like trying to punch a hologram. And you're like, yeah. I'm not connecting to any visual language here. And what you're doing, and I was in a room with you yesterday where you did that, where you were coming up with not even like sentences, but just words, like a list of words that are associated with that thing that you're talking about.
Exactly. You're like, these are your ingredients in your recipe. You're trying to create like this perfect soup almost.
Right.
That's like that comes to something like so clever, but still like you just get it, because the ultimate goal when someone sees your ad is that, because other people don't care about advertising. They'll see it for like 1 second. It's like, do you get them right away? Do they get it? Is it like, is it clever? Anyway. So what we ended up coming up with, the original idea was, okay, we'll have a skateboard, but we'll put the ashes of dead people in it, because it was like Liquid Death. It's like,
right.
You know, death. Cool. So it's like, so people could send the ashes of their relatives or whoever, their loved ones, and we'll like put it into the skateboard.
Mm-hmm.
And then so that they can like, they can ride one last time. Like skateboard will like ride their ashes. Okay. Like you can in your death, you can be a 1080 or
yeah,
what was
yeah,
the,
yeah.
you know.
Still shred.
You can still
even
shred.
Even from the grave.
Exactly. And I think that was a very cool idea too.
Still shred even when you're dead.
Yeah. Mike Cesario, the boss of Liquid Death, saw that. And He's the one that suggested maybe instead of ashes, it's blood, right? So it was which is typical. I mean, that's the other thing. People think in advertising that like, one person just came up with a thing,
right?
It's like there's a writer's room. It's
very rare.
You riff off each other. Yeah. Even if you have an idea, like you riff with the group to make it better.
Totally.
That's actually like, I feel like that's a strength of mine that I do work in the group. I want the opinions of the group. I think like in the film world, not to go on too much of a tangent, but like directors will do well with their movies and then they'll suddenly stink. And my hypothesis is they worked with other people for a while and then they stopped listening to people after.
Totally.
So I've
heard Steven Spielberg say some of my best ideas are not my own.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's just, everything is just math at the end of the day. Even my process, like I'm trying to like I was a former math major. I do have this logic. I think part of what makes me strong is I have the creative meets the logical, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, it's also why I am pursuing advertising, honestly, is because it's so much less lonely than journalism.
Yeah.
Like, where there are endeavors where it's like, okay, you're just doing, it's just you, and then sometimes you hand it to an editor, but it really is your name on the fucking thing, and you did that work. And there are projects, I think,
I never thought about that.
That are great for that to be your work, but for the most part, I think that humans we're such social animals, and we learn so much more quickly and can get from bad ideas to good ideas way more quickly with other people in the room. Like through my 20s, I spent way too much time working on projects alone, and the iterations of bad ideas were way slower than they are when I'm in the room with someone like you. Right, like I'll say an idea, and you'd be like, "Eh, not a chance." And I'm like, "Oh, that's real." I mean, I appreciate it because I'm here to get good.
Yeah,
you
know.
But that's what advertising
openness.
I think,
openness is very important, and no matter how good you are, it's important. It's just keep staying open. And I do think there's a point where people start closing off and they get worse. But like what happened there was, everyone came up. I think it's very important for people to come up with their ideas separately, but then to bring it to the group so you can all riff with each other. So we had a writer's room there. Mike said, let's make it blood. And the rest is advertising history. It was a board with Tony Hawk's blood sold for $500, which in itself is making things expensive. Is an effective way to, I mean, it probably should be expensive anyway, but like it also like some proceeds went to, you know, some proceeds went to
blood
like
banks.
Help. No, I think it was for skate parks or something like Tony Hawk's like skate park for certain you know, areas without skate parks fund. But yeah, so it was $500, and then like Lil Nas X commented on it because he made a blood shoe.
Right. But it became culturally relevant.
It got like
there's this thing that people
over
had
a billion impressions.
Right.
And if it happened now, it would have been even more because like Liquid Death is like bigger than ever. It was but it's to this date still like by far their biggest hit.
Right.
And I think it's because we really, it was so unique. It was,
So it's awesome. I mean, two things that I want to just have you talk about more, which is one is that like, I know that, so David Littlejohn, the founder of Humanaut, was at Crispin before starting Humanaut. And I heard that one of the trainings that they did there was if you pitched an idea, it had to be in a press release.
Yes.
Meaning that your idea needs to be newsworthy.
Yes.
Right? Like, so Tony Hawk drips his blood into a skateboard deck.
Yes.
Is a headline for an article.
Not just that, but you can buy it for $500. It has exited advertising. It has entered the real world.
Right.
It is, you know, and it's like you can be involved.
Right.
They're becoming more than a company. They're entering culture, which is like a big thing. So like the real headline there is, you know, Tony Hawk put his blood into these skateboards and you can buy it for $500. It starts entering like hype beast territory, you know?
Right.
So, that's an exercise for sure that they do. That's what you got to consider. You got exactly. You write it as a PR headline. I don't do that. I can think of, I get it without having to do that at this point, 'cause I've done it so much, but it's a good, it's a very good exercise. It's also like, it's not just a good exercise to know, like, is that intriguing, but it's also a good exercise to see if you can like write it very quick, like is in a single sentence, can someone get it? 'Cause that's like kind of replicating the, or emulating the experience of like someone that just like sees your ad in a second.
Yeah.
'Cause that's about how long you have to get someone's interest.
Right.
So,
So ingredients are just all the words, associating words, like a comic would, around an idea. So you want to get as many words down as possible. Second thing that I wanted to have you talk about more that you briefly mentioned is the importance of coming up with ideas on your own before entering the group.
Yes.
So I think that this is a mistake that some companies make, because they're like, great, we're going to have a creative meeting at 2 p.m., let's go there and then talk about all the ideas that we're going to come up with.
Yeah, I mean,
which doesn't work. So, what you're talking about is going into your own cave for a little while. And what does that look like for you? So you get the brief, and now it's super new for you, right? Like, give me an example of another campaign that you worked on.
A big hit was like the Splenda Stevia.
Okay.
Campaign where they had a stevia, and I mean, I guess that's it. They just wanted to make their stevia famous because they, you know, everyone knows them for artificial sweeteners, and they're doing this, you know, this thing that comes from a plant.
Right.
You know, it's a positive direction, I'd say.
Okay. So you get a stevia. Like, okay, this is stevia.
Yeah.
Before the first writer's room, what kind of work are you doing in your head and on the paper, and what does a session look like for you?
Yeah, like I said, like some people do, like they'll do mind maps, I guess. It's like a mind map, but I just list words. I'm not drawing a tree because it's annoying, but I just, you know, but like it is like, and by the way, the reason why, like I'm very mathematical, like I said, the reason why people break up separately, I mean, you can guess why. Why would you break up separately before you come together in the group?
Because you don't want group mind too soon.
Exactly.
Right.
You want more shit that like you don't want to influence people so that they go down a certain path. They might have come up with something that you didn't, right?
So
I mean, and you don't just do it once where you go separate and come together. It's constant.
Totally.
separate together.
Well, people in a writer's room also have different status.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're the most senior person in that room and then you pitch your ideas, all the other ideas are going to gravitate around yours. With or
that's
without
true.
People knowing it. Like, the Amazon has a policy where the most junior person in the room always speaks first because of exactly that human tendency to kind of follow status in various environments.
Yeah.
So having to come up with a big bunch of ingredients on your own and be like, well, I think that this meal is going to be more savory. And someone else is like, well, I think it's going to be more sweet. Da, da, da. So you're bringing all those ingredients into the pot. So how are you writing down all these words?
Yeah, I honestly use the notepad file in the notepad app in on my Apple computer. It's because it's always right there.
Yep.
And I have it open. And to be honest, like the way I like to do things is I kind of just work when I feel like working. I don't really like 9 to 5. Now I'm working. I kind of just like, because there's like moments where you're feeling it more and there's moments where you're not, and I just try to, like, once again, like thinking mathematically, I'm just trying to be efficient with my hours. If I'm tired, I go to sleep, you know. But I'm thinking about things like anytime, like I can be in the shower later, I can think about things. Often I honestly work like typical, but I work later. I work with like baseball games on, I smoke some weed, you know, like I think while smoking weed, I think while not smoking weed, like you just get different stuff. One is not better than the other. It's just like, you know, I think in the morning, I think at night. And I'm just developing like a list of any associations. So with Splenda Stevia, like for example, like I'll like guide you through the process. It's like, okay, it sounds like Steve. Is there anything with a guy named Steve? All right. It's a plant. Okay. Plants, like, you know, greenhouses. Do I do anything with a greenhouse? You know, or diners have little Splenda packets in them. Is there anything with these Splenda packets and diners? The movie at the time, I think the Martian came out with Matt Damon. I was like, and he was like growing potatoes. I was like, can we like grow stevia on the moon? I was also like, stevia, it sounds like sativa. That's like weed, right? Like, it kind of looks like weed. Is there anything with weed? Do we have like a stevia, like a weed store, like a stevia store that we treat like a weed store? So like, you can see I'm just going down these like lanes, and I'm just like writing things just like literally like that, like just quick. Don't overthink it. Don't like, when you think of something you like, don't like keep like just keep going. Just blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah. Don't get married to that.
Exactly.
Idea too quickly.
And the, yeah, just is volume. Quantity is greater than quality. Right. Is my kind of because unlike baseball, where your batting average is important in advertising, you only need one good one. So just come up with 1,000, there's gonna, you know, not 1,000, but you know,
right. Like, but these are all just words, or maybe a couple words,
yeah. Anything,
right?
And
but you're at this point not trying to come up with a perfect tagline.
No tagline yet. The tagline is like the last thing. Like, I actually write the taglines after the script sometimes, to be honest, because like sometimes the scripts and platforms inspire the tagline after, because you kind of want that tagline that's another story, but like you want the tagline to be the summation of everything you did. So why would you come up with a tag? Sometimes you come up with something so good, you do it backwards. You're like, okay, how do I make these clever words work as an idea? What we ended up going with there, what we realized was very interesting. Like, no one cares about stevia. No one cares about Splenda, right? But people care about weed. That's interesting. That's edgy, right? So what we ended up doing, the original concept was going to be the stevia like store, like where a guy like tours you through a store or whatever. And like, hey, this is where we sell the, you know, it's like just a bunch of weed jokes in this store. What it ended up becoming, and this was from, I think, David working with Dills. At the time, I wasn't, now I'm a creative director, I kind of get final say. At the time, I was more like, I was senior, I think, but like, they took it, I think they did a very good job with it in the end. They ended up coming up with the tagline, like the sweetest thing you could grow. And they had this ad where it was like, people find out stevia is a plant. And then they're like, wait, if it's a plant, why don't I just grow my own? And then you just go to, it's like, I'm going to have a stevia grow operation. I'm going to grow stevia in my mom's basement. I'm going to bring stevia in little bags to the, you know, like whatever. So it's a bunch of weed jokes. But it accomplishes those two things. Like, you care about weed, but you're learning about stevia. The most important thing is that you realize it's from Splenda, but it's a real plant. It's not artificial. And also, it's a funny ad, so you're going to remember it. It was a big hit for Splenda. So we actually did a follow-up ad that never happened, where it was like, we pretended like people were mad about it. We actually used B-roll footage from our existing ad, so it wouldn't even cost them money. It was like a thing, like, people have been upset by our, our stevia ad. So we had like a stevia apology brownie where people could like, or like a something like that, where you could get a stevia brownie.
Right.
And we play dumb. Like, we're like, we don't know why people are upset. Like, here's a brownie. Like, you know, I think that would have been a big hit too. They didn't go with it. But you can see there the kind of thinking.
I can see how that's coming like together. Yeah.
Like, weed, edgy, stevia. You remember?
what's the list of? All right. So you're coming up with all these ideas, words on your notes app.
Yes.
Game volume as much as possible. It's happening throughout the day, in the shower, wake up in the middle of the night, but it's always there.
Yeah.
And growing. Then you get to the first writer's room, and at Humanaut, there's a process where you need to fill in a prompt, which is, you ever notice that, ...
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be funny, weird, or interesting if, ...
Mm-hmm.
Which I want you to just speak a little bit to that, to what that is.
Yeah, to be honest, that was a very useful tool in the beginning. That's a way of getting, because you're looking for an insight, and then you're looking for, like, if that's true, what's the expression of that insight that's interesting?
Yeah.
So that, like,
or extreme or exaggerated.
Yeah. So like, it's like, you know, in the case of this, it would be like, we call these human nuggets. Like, we would come up with these ideas and we put them in like human nugget form. So it's like, isn't it weird that stevia sounds kind of like sativa and it looks like weed too. Like, mm-hmm. it looks like sativa. Wouldn't it be funny or interesting if, you know, people started trying to like grow, you know, grow sativa like they did weed? Like that's kind of how that would be. Or like, wouldn't it be, I think like the original one was like, wouldn't it be interesting if there was like a stevia dispensary? Mm-hmm. Dispensary, that was the word. Right. If there was a stevia dispensary. So, and that's like a very useful, now at this point, to be honest, like because I've done this so many times, I'm so quick, I don't need to put it through this. I just don't use the full phrases, but I am thinking that way.
Right.
I am thinking like, okay, like, isn't it weird that is like, is the where you pull in the associated thing.
Yeah.
And then yeah. And then what we kind of say is like, David has a way to put it. Like, I think I'm paraphrasing terribly, but it's like a creative idea is like a overcorrection of an injustice or something like that. So like,
it's a delightful overcorrection
of an injustice. So like, so if it really does look like stevia, how do we like really take it serious? Like, we're going to have a grow operation. Then we're going to sell it at dispensaries. And then people are going to like, there's going to be a 420 convention for, you know, like how do you take it really seriously?
Make it feel as big as possible.
Exactly. Right. Like this is, but there still has to be like truth in it, because otherwise it's just stupid. I think these are aspects a lot of bad advertising is like missing, right? Because like at the end of the day, the thing that makes the good ideas good is like, there's like truth in there.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, it really, you really could grow your own. It really does kind of like, it's not just like some like non sequitur or whatever. Right. So anyway.
All right. So now if you're working with other people, you're working with other copywriters, everyone's dumping all their ideas into this big document, right?
Yes.
That's like everyone throwing all their ingredients into the soup.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, all right, how does this taste? Maybe there's one word that you used and another word that you used, and we could match them together. And I've seen you highlight words that you like.
Yeah.
Before there's any kind of like, even before there's any like big idea, or like pretty much at any point throughout the creative process, all the way to scripting, I've seen you just yellow highlight different words and phrases that you like.
Yeah. And to be clear, by the way, so you think of words first. Generally, when people do bring stuff to me, they did take it a little further than the words at that point. They brought it as more the nugget form, which is like the beginning of an idea. People don't typically just bring
words
to me. Although sometimes they'll bring the idea and then I don't care about the idea, but I just saw
you like that one.
I like a word, or I like something in there. I mean, we all, and they do it back to me. They're like, oh, there's, you know, like, what I'm looking for is like, I mean, this is where taste comes in, you know, and taste is kind of tied with like empathy in a way. I feel like people feel like, I think good creatives, this is a little hypothesis of mine. Like, I think people have this idea that like good people just like do whatever they want, and then it's just like, it just works out. But I actually think that like it just happens that everyone likes it. I think good people do consider the audience. I do. I think maybe in some rare exception, there's just some crazy guy doing, or girl doing whatever they want. And it's like, it just happens to catch on. But I really think you need to like, I mean, anything we're creating, like ultimately, you know, someone is taking it in. And I have the ability, and other people, whether they're musicians or artists, I think they're making things. They still want to make what they want. They're trying to find that like Venn diagram's middle point, which is another, we could get into the whole, I have a bit of a Venn diagram philosophy too. Like, everything is about finding a middle point. Everything. Fucking everything. Not just advertising. But like, it's like between what I want to do and what people will like.
Right.
And I have a good sense of what people will like, and not just like cool hipstery, you know.
But what do they deeply want that maybe even they have not articulated yet?
I mean, this can go into we can get into my list of like, I have a couple, like I have an intuition about it at this. I mean, I guess an intuition in a way is just like, over time you've just done things so many times you don't even think about it, but really in the back of your mind there is like a sort of process that's going on.
Yeah.
Like you just have a sense, like you've just seen things before, so you just know what works, but like you kind of develop like a bit of a, you know, toolkit in a way. And you can develop this toolkit in terms like as you brainstorm, like I'm just so much more efficient now, like I just don't even waste time with, you know. But there's sort of a list of things that people like, you know. And I've analyzed this really, not really from advertising, more so my inspiration comes from like movies, shows, music, whatever, art, things in the news. But like what people like, they like edgy stuff, right? So they like, you know, oh, we talked about weed. Ooh, edgy. Oh, we have blood. Edgy. We did a Travis Barker enema kit. Ooh, edgy. That one in a way was more clever than the liquid, than the blood board, because the blood board didn't even use the product. The Travis Barker enema kit, for those people that don't know, is we had Travis Barker sell an enema kit so you could give yourself an enema with liquid death, and we called it the Enema of the State kit because he had an album called Enema of the State. It was great. It was a big hit too, not as big, but pretty darn big. But I was gonna say, so edginess is like definitely like we did another one, an ad for like Poopowerment, where people, it was like girls on the toilet just talking about pooping. That's like, so that's the edgy category. Edgy is one of my big things in the toolkit for sure. Like, how edgy can you get? Like, people are like, oh, I can't believe they said that, whatever. So edginess. Another thing on the list is like, is uniqueness. Has it been done before? Very important. If it's been done, people are like, oh, I've seen that, right? It's like uniqueness is another thing on the list. I should have brought like a written list here, but I can go through it if I think about it on this. I can go through it, but it's like uniqueness is a big one. Another one is bigness. Oh, we got like a million people to do this. Right. Oh, we made a pizza that's the size of, you know, like big impressiveness.
Right. And, but it can, just to be clear, like it can be a 15 second commercial, but it, the idea, you're creating a world.
Yes.
That feels really big that everyone can live inside.
Yes.
Right.
And just to be clear, too, things don't need to necessarily have everything on this list, right? It's just like, does it have enough from this? Like, these are just things people like. And the goal is to, like, get things on this list, and I can go through more things on the list as well. But, like, at the end of the day, the most important thing is clarity. It's like, like, do they get it?
Right.
Do they get it?
You could say ease, too. Like, ease. How quickly
yes.
do people get that idea?
Yes.
And how easily can they tell that idea to a friend over a beer?
Exactly.
Which, oh, my God, did you see that they did a Travis Barker enema?
Exactly.
Have you seen? Like, that took me, what, five words?
Which you could argue is one of the things on the list. Like, ease. You could say it's almost like a byproduct of the, like, or it's another separate category, but you could say it's one of the things on the list. Whatever. For the purposes of this conversation, we can say ease. Like, simplicity is definitely one of the things on the list. Another thing is ubiquitousness. Is what you're talking about something that like everyone gets? Which I have a friend that has like it. To be fair, they do a lot of branding. I have a friend that has a branding agency, and they do stuff. It's like so trendy, and it's fine if that's your demo. That's great. Like it, like just the coolest, hipsteriest things. But like I'm trying to think of things for like the masses.
Right.
I'm into that. I'm into like where can you, but I'm also into like similar to Quentin Tarantino in a way. Not that I'm putting myself on the level of Quentin Tarantino. Although if I had his budget, I think I could do some good stuff. But I'm trying to like trick the masses into like liking good things. I'm not just trying to give them like I'm trying to sneak in better stuff than people normally see. But I am trying to like come up with like ubiquitous stuff that everyone gets. But what is the ubiquitous stuff that like is still good and not just like simple? But like ubiquitousness is very important, which is tied to another thing, which is celebrity. So having a celebrity is very useful because they're ubiquitous. They already are like, you know, they already have a following. Another thing is cleverness. You know, cleverness, it's a little bit tied to uniqueness, but it's like, it's hard to describe cleverness, but it's like, I mean, you just know clever when you see it. It's like, oh, that's clever, you know, like, but cleverness without, you know, complexity, you know?
Right.
So like, and it's gotta be original, but like, you know, some of the best ideas are the ones where it's like, it's so simple. Why didn't I think of that?
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, like that, duh. Like when, after you see it, you're like, that's the first time. That's so like, those are some of like, those are some of the big things on my list. I'm trying to think if I'm like, if I'm missing anything. I think there's other things. I mean, impressiveness ties in also with like visuals, you know, just like beauty. Beauty is an important part of it. And yeah, there might be two or three more. I don't know. I'd have to like look into it, but I have this list and I'm like, how many of these things is it hitting off the list? And that's how I determine, you know, so like weed, I'm like, I like a weed idea. I get, of course, like that's ubiquitous. That's edgy, you know, you know, Bloodborne, Tony Hawk. I'm like, okay, that's edgy. It's got celebrity. It's got like cleverness. It's got, another thing on the list, actually, I guess, if you would, is in a way this is very specific, but it's like making things real. You know, if you can make things real, that's also very interesting. Like the Bloodborne was a real thing you could buy, or like if we do a stunt, do it for real. Don't just fake it. You know, that's, you know,
because then all of a sudden it's no longer advertising.
It's no longer advertising. It's just news.
Right.
You know, so which is, you know, that's really the goal. You want to exit the advertising world, become part of culture, become part of news, which news is part of culture. So, yeah, I can quickly look at things. I can put it through the list and I can see, like, will people like this?
Mm-hmm.
And I have that, you know, taste is the one thing that's like hard. I can, you know. I mean, there's a lot of things that are hard to, you just got it or you don't. I feel in a way like taste is one of them. You know, work ethic is another one of them, like ambition. You know, you can get better taste, I guess, by hanging around cooler people and by getting a lot of creative input. But you got to be the kind of person that just like wants to hang around cool people and get creative input.
Who would do that?
I don't know. a lot of people don't. A lot of people, I see their work. I'm like, are you watching good shit? Like with design, it's especially obvious. I'm like, are you looking at like good design? Like, are you like... Because, like, how can you have good, you know, you don't want to, no one's starting from scratch, right? You don't want to reinvent the wheel. You got to, like, see what other people are doing and, like, make you, you know, build on that, make unique combinations of that, then put your own.
Yeah.
You know.
One thing that I've noticed about you in the past week of just hanging around is your respect for how little attention you get from customers.
Yes.
maybe that's just ubiquitous among just people who are in advertising for a really long time. But like, I think that you get bored really easily.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't get something in the first 4 seconds, that idea is not going to work for you. And you have a certain respect for the fact that you have someone's attention for maybe 6 seconds and you need to get all of that in there in a 6 second period. So I want to ask you specifically about headlines, because like headlines are so important because that's often what the only thing that people are going to read, right? They will likely not even get into the body copy. Maybe they won't even watch the commercial.
I don't even think body copy exists anymore.
Right. But if in the headline of that video, you can explain the idea or you can inject as many ingredients into that headline as possible, that's also a win. So I wanted to ask you about your thoughts on what makes a good headline, and specifically what you were talking about in terms of an imperative, how you think about headlines in terms of, like, we're, you don't need to say the headline, but like there was an imperative headline that you're like, I really like this because it's an imperative.
Well, let me just say one thing to finish off, because you mentioned getting people's attention in the first 6 seconds. That's actually something you know, sometimes there's things that you feel already, but then someone puts very concisely, mm-hmm. you know, someone else, like something you were kind of feeling, they put it into good words, and then you're like, yeah, you're right. Mike Cesario from Liquid Death, actually, that was a big thing that stuck with me, which is like when we did the Tony Hawk Bloodborne thing, he was like, the first thing I want to see, part of the reason why he wanted to do the blood thing, like that he got was like, although you could have done this with the ash thing too, but like, he wanted to see a needle go into Tony Hawk's arm, because that's it. You got them right away. You got them quickly. So the first second or two are very important, right? Like, so yeah, in the case of headlines, I do have to be honest. I'm not like the greatest headline guy in the universe. Funny enough, I'm a better tagline guy. which in a way is different. But I mean, I know a good headline when I see one, and I have come up with some good headlines. I'm just saying it's not my like my main strength, but I've come up with some good. The most important thing with headlines is that it incorporates something about the product. I know that sounds obvious in a way, but you'd be, when you really look at headlines, you're like, does it, like, really a headline, a good headline should work like a good commercial, right? It's like, it should have the same qualities where like it got your attention quickly and you get, you remember it, but you also remember the product. You're not just remembering the headline or you're not, you know, so really it's like a headline is like a mini ad in a way. And if it's like, if the headline is working in a visual, then if the headline is crazy, you want a normal visual. If the headline is normal, you want a crazy visual. Then otherwise it's like a hat on a hat, which is what David says. One of my favorite, you know, people can only get one thing,
right?
You know, like if you start,
well, and it creates tension by having, if there's a crazy headline to then play it straight, exactly, with a visual or vice versa.
Tension is a big thing. I mean, it's a big thing that, a big underlying factor of comedy in general, the sacred and the profane and the, you know, anyway. Yeah, it's like you want to say something about the product and you want to, and from there, honestly, it kind of works the same way, like through the list on, like, I mean, there's certain, it's much harder to talk about headlines, admittedly. There are certain like conventions that you can go to, but really in a nutshell, you want to say something clever, unique, possibly edgy, but that like you get something back from the product. Honestly, my best headline ever that I came up with was for, that never saw the light of day because it was for a wood cleaning product. I forget what the name of it even is, but it was for a wood, like to make like old furniture look nice or old wood look nice. And my tagline was, or my headline was brand spanking old. And that was really good because I mean, it's three words. It's like quippy and it's, you know, it's using, you know, it's using brand spanking new, which is ubiquitous. You know that, but then you're like kind of repurposing it in a, it's got cleverness, but you learn something about the product. Like you get it. It creates like a visceral image in your head. So it is hard to describe exactly, like there's no real formula to a good headline, but it does have a lot of those quotes. You want it to be unique. You don't want it to be like some derivative thing that you've seen a million times. Yeah, like edginess could be. And you just, you know, you just develop this toolkit of these sort of like these literary conventions maybe, like kind of go-tos, but you also try to break away from that too. But generally speaking, you want it to be quick. You want to say something about the product. And yeah, it just should have a lot of the qualities of, you know, should have a lot of the qualities of a good ad. A good headline shouldn't even need any visuals with it a lot of the time, except of course with the exception where like the visual is doing like a lot of the work, but like, but yeah, good headline, you should just read it and should just be good. I'm trying to think if there's any other, like headlines that I wrote that I liked. It's hard. I'm better at the taglines.
So what's the difference between a headline and a tagline?
A tagline is like the summation of your whole campaign, in words.
And a headline is a derivative of that that could stand on its own as a static ad, yeah, or
yeah, it's like a headline would be just like just saying something about the product,
right?
And it's not like
Old Spice had one, which was if your grandfather didn't wear it, you wouldn't exist.
Exactly, that's more of like a headline. Like that's not probably like a tagline. Like it's not like a, doesn't feel as big.
Yeah,
you know,
a tagline could kind of override.
But whereas like the, you know, What was Old Spice's big tagline? Like smell like, what was there? What was
the man your man could smell like?
Yeah, 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 yeah. The, what was it? Say it again.
The man your man could smell like.
Smell like the man your, something like that. I forget. Anyway, it's anyway. Like, but it's maybe it's not that good. I don't even remember it. But Yeah, you just...
Just do it is the ultimate one.
Yeah, I mean, like, we did something for Sunny D Vodka Seltzer, and the idea behind Sunny D Vodka Seltzer was... That was a funny one in a way. Like, you're trying to think of all these clever things, but really the clever thing about Sunny D Vodka Seltzer is I can't believe they made Sunny D Vodka Seltzer.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, that's... There's nothing you could come up with that's bigger than the product itself. So then the tagline just ended up being like, it's the best news ever. Mm. Like, they made a vodka seltzer, like, it's the best news ever. So, you know, yeah, it's like what are some other examples? Let me, like, if it, like, for, yeah, for, like I said, for the Splenda Stevia one, it was the sweetest thing you could grow. Right, it's like a summation of everything,
mm-hmm.
and you get the whole idea from it. That's mm-hmm. that's the difference between the tagline and the headline.
Got it.
But you know, to be honest, I am more excited about the I come from like a design background. I'm a visual guy. You can see from my very trendy.
You're in a onesie.
Onesie. What is this? Wild Fang.
The Wild Fang.
I was told by my friends when I went to Portland, like, you got to go to Wild Fang. And I was like, okay. So, and you know what? They were right. But I'm more excited by the videos. And then the other stuff, like, it's great and all, but it's kind of like something, not to like, you know, not to be a hater, but it is something that like I just kind of have to do after. It's like, all right, time to write the headlines. Mm. But I'm in it for the video. Like, I'm trying to make movies.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying
to write scripts.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I mean, I try to make ads, and especially now, in the last year, I've become a creative director. I have like more like final say, and I'm really trying to go like hog wild with my shit. Right. Like, I'm trying to really like create big fun worlds so I create things that have legs, and by that I mean like a campaign that can live on and you can create many videos under it, and I'm trying to create movies and worlds, and honestly I hope one day I can I am maybe working on a script for an animated series.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like which is part of the cool thing about advertising, to be honest. Which the thing I love about advertising, I'm actually not a huge advertising fan. I don't really watch a lot of advertising. I actually have ad blocks on everything. I actually think a big problem with a lot of people in advertising is that they're getting too inspired by other advertising and they just make like tropey advertising shit. And
it's always been the thing with advertising is it's already so reduced.
Yes.
Versus a podcast or a movie or a book.
Yes. Well, like even with podcasts and movies, but you have the risk of becoming tropey and derivative of other, you know, podcast movies or books. I mean, like,
so where do you get inspired?
By good shit, like by like good movies, by good shows, by good music videos, by good, you know, I don't read so much anymore because I listen to just podcasts, and I should read more. But you know, I will watch, like, I try to be efficient with my time, so I will see, like, best ads of, you know, 2023, you know, I'll watch those, because there are good ones, mm-hmm. but I do think the best stuff is, like, is a movie in itself, and I love how I'm learning about the production process, I'm learning about good writing. I mean, the principles of writing a good 30 or 60 second thing really are, like, the same principles of writing a good 1.5-2 hour thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about how I'm learning all that. And like the psychology of advertising is so useful to like applying it. Like, you know, I can consult on brands or I can create a brand, and these principles of advertising can actually apply to anything and everything about like, cause you know, making things that people like, doing things that people like, that's really at the core of it, what it's about. And that's what I'm into the most. I'm into the psychology of it and into the creative process, not into advertising. But if I'm going to do it, I want to make it good. So I'm not like one of those like advertising haters. I'm a bad advertising hater. But
so it sounds like you do want to get into more long form stuff.
Yeah.
So that's a dream
yeah.
of yours.
And I'll always like be down to do advertising. And that's why I'm at Human Up, because I think we do good ads. And especially now that they're like letting me do whatever I want, you know, the client maybe stops me sometimes, but they're very, you know, that's why I'm there. If I wasn't a human, I'd probably be out of advertising already, but they're very cool. We have a studio in house, like a full like film studio, not a huge one, but like it's, and we build stuff in there. It's like I feel like I've been like, you know, Jim Henson's Muppet workshop there. So it's like very cool and fun, and I love it, and the people are so nice. But yeah, I'm really more into creativity than advertising, but human art really does feel creative, and yeah, trying to make it even more creative. And I can't talk about my latest campaign yet, but I mean, you saw it.
It's good.
It's looking cool, right? Yeah. And we presented 4 platforms, and they're all, I'm not trying to present anything normal. No more normal stuff. Nothing in just a living room or a kitchen, just big shit, big worlds, pushing the CG department or composite department, yeah. Pushing the, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is, it leads into an interesting point of commercials that I wanted to mm-hmm. hit on, and then I want to talk about the game
mm-hmm.
and get out advertising the game. But the last thing that I wanted to get your perspective on, and one of the biggest aha moments I've had by spending the week out here, I've worked on a number of commercials at Mudwater, where I was on set, giving them lines. Like
great brand.
But it has been limited, right? Like a lot of the work that I've done with other agencies is just like, okay, here's a bunch of ideas, and I have no idea how this is actually going to play on screen.
Mm-hmm.
So I did feel like I was kind of, I was limited in my perception of that whole back end of how it's going to play on screen. And something that really became clear to me on this shoot is the crazier the world, the more straight the script can be,
mm-hmm.
which I think is interesting given how crazy the worlds are that you're creating it in your, the commercials in your brain. Like yesterday in that writer's room, it was like, I think the line is like, you can wear anything you want. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's that.
Yeah, you're not giving away too much.
I won't give anything away, but yeah. Like the joke was you can wear anything you want.
Yes.
And that's not a crazy punchline by any means.
Yeah.
And it actually made the joke better because the world that you're creating is the tension, is the insanity.
Yes.
And I feel like that was, I mean, that made the whole trip worth it for me, right? Just be like, oh shit, the juxtaposition between scene and setting and line is where you're not going to put a hat on a hat.
Yeah, hat on a hat, great term. It's like, yeah, you just don't want conflicting ideas. Like there's ideas that come in words and there's ideas that come in visuals. And if you have a crazy line with a crazy visual, it's like two ideas happening at once. You know, so yeah, you just have to consider like, is this digestible? Yeah, it's difficult to describe, but like there often are these like there's these tensions. Tell me, like, what did you find so interesting about it compared to like what you were doing at Mudwater? Like, what resonated so much about that with you?
The math of the math of it is very much more. And I mean, I think that Mudwater had its own thing going on, which was basically, are you addicted to coffee? Right? Like I think what they hit on,
which
was
is interesting,
super interesting, and super ubiquitous.
Yeah.
Holy shit, everyone's addicted to coffee.
Yes.
Well, we made something.
One of the things on my list.
We made something else. Here's a different option yeah. for you. And it was a humorous brand, but it wasn't. And it was irreverent, and there was some edge to it, right, in the way that we were writing and speaking to a customer. Right? We were talking about all of these issues, like breath work and sleep and meditation and anxiety and caffeine that are normally spoken about in a very sanctimonious tone,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like normally charged crystals and astrologists, but we were kind of doing it in a funny way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, and that was a cool place for that brand to live. And I think the founder, Shane, is super charismatic and was really great at telling his story without it sounding salesy, mm-hmm. right? Like that, his first founder's video, which he made for $10,000, sold tens of millions of dollars of product because he was just like, hey, this is my story. I'm like, this is me. I'm doing my thing. And I think that there was an interesting tension in the way he told the story because he's so not salesy in the way that he's doing it. It kind of makes you want to be like, well, I sort of trust this guy and want to learn more about it. So I think he inherently had tension in that. I think what we didn't have, or what at least what I didn't understand when I was at that brand, was just the math of normal world's crazy world and stretching those to a greater extreme and exaggerating those in a greater extreme to get more attention around it. And the commercials that I wrote for them were more just like, oh, well, this is going to be a funny line that you should say, yeah, not really understanding that it's a Neanderthal saying the line.
Yeah.
Right. So there was, it just wasn't, I felt like there was a lot of me learning of like, okay, well, this is going to be funny, but not understanding how it would be affected by the whole world there. Whereas I think that everyone at Humanaut thinks about creativity in a super logical and lucid way, and you're really trying to push the tension of any situation and in any commercial.
Yeah, people feel like logic, you know, or math or whatever is like this opposing force to creativity. But I feel that's so wrong. I mean, logic and math is in everything, including in creativity.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason I could, like, break down, and this is the way I look at things. Like, I could go to, like, some fine art thing, like some, you know, Aoi Kusama, you know, mm-hmm, like the Japanese woman, I think that's how her name, like, the one that does the red dots on stuff, yeah, or, like, you know, or, you know, Ai Weiwei, or, you know, I mean, more obvious, like Banksy, or, you know, people like I could break down why these like famous artists, like the same principles, like this is what I was kind of saying before, like the same principles of what makes advertising big is the same thing that makes anything big. And you can break it down logically. So I think you have to think logically in terms of like Mudwater, like specifically, it's like probably when it was new, it was enough to just talk about it. And a thing that happens with brands is they do achieve some level of success, and they think that, like, I don't want to like hate on, I'm not hating on Mudwater. I don't even know enough about them to be honest to, but I'm just saying, I'm speaking generally here, yeah, that like,
no,
they
think it's a cool perspective. I'll hear
it. They think the things that they did, like it led to their success. So they think like, just keep doing that. You know, like, why would I listen to anyone saying anything otherwise? Because, like, I made $100 million company, right? But, like, you start getting, like, competitors or, like, just it stops being the trend. And you want to stay top of mind. And I think, like, the thing that makes me good and that makes other people, like, the thing that makes the best people good is you're not just trying to make something good. You're trying to make the best fucking thing ever, every time. Like home runs every time. Like, even when I have something good, I'm like, can I make it better? Can I make it crazier? Can I push it harder? Can I, like, what, like, and that should be the philosophy, you know, with anyone. It's, you know, it's what makes, has made Liquid Death's so successful so fast. People are like, oh, they got so sick. It's like, yeah, they're fucking pushing it, right? Like, this is what you need to do. Like, you're not doing enough. There's always more you can do. And so like, in terms of, like, you know, Mudwater, for example, like I said, I'm just, you just said it, but like them just talking about, like, oh, like, you know, stop drinking coffee, drink Mudwater, like, how long can you do that for, you know, and still like keep the same level of attention. You got to keep doing something new, something crazier. What are the, like, if that's the idea, which is an interesting idea, the idea of like drinking that instead of water can, instead of coffee can live on forever. But like, you know, what is the craziest way to express that idea in a campaign? And then do that, maybe come up with a campaign that would go on for a while. And then, until it doesn't work, and then the next campaign. And like, what's the way to push this idea? Once again, like banking off of things in the zeitgeist, maybe a new coffee brand came out, like talk about that. Maybe a new coffee product came out, maybe talk, if that makes sense. But like, yeah, you just got to go for home runs. Like, you got to go like nuts because there's just so much shit. Right? This isn't like the days of like three channels and like, you know, like the goal with Liquid Death, when Liquid Death gives us a brief, it's like, we want to be on the top of the internet, That's the brief with Liquid Death. And like, they can do it because they've built things up to this point, but like, that should be the goal, no matter who you are, right? And that's our goal with whatever budget we have. Like I said, like going back, you know, bringing things full circle a bit, but like, we get a lot of brands that don't have a bajillion dollars that can just be top of mind by buying their way there. They, you know, we're trying to come up with just the cleverest, craziest thing that people will talk about. And yeah, and I think every brand can, you know, can stand to, you know, to think that way.
Right.
Like, not just, yeah, just.
Well, I think that it's also.
Mudwater, if you're listening, you know. Come on. I'll make some crazy shit for you.
Yeah, I guarantee you. I think that it's also, when you're inside a brand, you have more concerns than just your marketing.
Yes.
Right? Marketing is one part of the whole operation that you are running and trying to build and managing people and managing systems and operations.
Of course.
Right? So I think that one reason why a lot of brands go to... Because I also, you know, I at first was like, why would any brand go to an ad agency? Why wouldn't they just build the whole thing in-house?
Yeah.
If you can do it cheaper, why wouldn't you just build that team inside? And I think that... You know, and some brands do.
Some do, some do it well. Duolingo's killing it. Mm-hmm. You could argue Apple. I think they do a lot of in-house stuff. You know, some do it well.
Right.
You have to be cool enough that, like, good people want to go to you and be in-house, because there is a downside to, like, working on only one thing.
Right.
So you want... Anyway.
But I think that, going back to what you said at the beginning of this podcast, is, like, once you become too familiar with an idea and mm-hmm. you're in it every day, it becomes very difficult to come up with all that huge list of ideas and words and associations that is really easy for someone who just got exposed to that brand can pretty easily do, because they have not already been breathing that air for years and years inside a company. So I think that one of the real services of ad agencies is new perspective.
For sure. I mean, you definitely do get tunnel vision. By the way, my stomach was growling. I didn't eat this morning, and then I came straight here and drank coffee. So I hope the mic isn't picking up my growls. But if it is, whatever, you know, it's cool.
He's hungry.
Yeah, I'm hungry. I'll eat after this. But what I want to say is that's a part of it. But to be honest, I don't think that's the biggest part of it. I just think that the number of people / agencies, it's more so people. It's not the age, like, agencies become bad when the good people leave. You know, it happens all the time. So, like, the number of truly good people are, like, few and far between. It's and it's more that, like, it's like a baseball team, you know, like, why do you go pick up a good free agent instead of, you could just get your guy from AAA. I mean, obviously sometimes you get a good prospect, right? But like, you just want to find good people. Good people make it look easy. And I've tried to, like, you know, I'm telling everyone my secrets right now. Like, how many people that listen to this podcast are going to go, you know, be the, you know, great advertisers, right? It's like, of course, I'm not talking about everything. There are certain, like, I say intangibles. Really, in a way, they're tangible. It's just, like, the algorithm to it is so complicated. But it's, like, it's really more so that you want the best people that are ambitious that are going to make the best shit. That's why. Your team is not as good as us. Some of them are, like Duolingo, like I said. I think they're the best. I think they could be an agency. Liquid Death is a company, but like, they're run by like ad people, right? I actually think, like, even them, they call us up to like get more good minds on stuff. But like, there's like probably, like, you know, maybe 10 to 20 truly good agencies in America that are really like, there's some good stuff that comes out like here or there. The odd thing, you know, I stepped way too far from the microphone there, maybe, but like, you know, it's more so that you're trying to get the best people. Like,
yeah,
it's
yeah. And when you, well, when you're,
and they have a fresh perspective,
when you're confident in your ability, you're open to sharing your toolkit.
Yeah.
Cause if anyone wants to listen to this podcast and try and do what you do with your lists and your, you know, lenses that you look at everything through, they're going to be playing your game.
Yeah.
Right. And then they're competing against you in your game.
Good people should never feel, I never feel worried about competition. I was at an agency. I'll even name her. She sucked. Maybe she was garbage. And
like I said, the least polite yeah, Canadian.
If you're listening to this, you're trash and you know it. But no, I don't want to. No, you are, but I'm sounding too mean. It's more the meanness than the truth of it. But like, she was like very like threatened when I worked at the agency, and she like she thought I was like gunning for her job, and she like totally like we came. She wouldn't work with me. She wouldn't brainstorm with me, and then she would. And then so there was a project that we worked on where we both came up. It was for Ontario Power Generation, and it was like this ad for like dam safety. And I came up with an idea, and she came up with one, and then they picked mine, and she like couldn't believe it. The only reason she even like included it in the deck was because she thought, oh, no chance. It was like a song with a beaver sing about dam safety. It was like, give a damn, it, you know, give a damn, da, 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 give a damn, you know, like, you know, read that sign and give a damn. Something like it was like a beaver because beavers live in dams. It was like stupid. And she wrote this like big, like epic, like derivative story about a boy who like goes near the dam, and he like almost drowns, like very emotional, because that's what everyone, so many people in advertising, they try to like do this like false emotion stuff, which like I hate that. That's like my most hated kind of advertising, like contrived emotional stuff. That's like
violin
just,
music.
What'd you say?
Violin music.
Yeah. It's like the Dove. I think the Dove care campaign, even if it's successful, it's my most hated campaign in the universe. But like, anyway, she felt threatened.
Why? What, like, why do you hate that?
It's, I don't think it's good. So even if it's successful, like, I guess it is. I think.
Do you hate that it's dishonest? Like, yes, they're trying to, I feel like that's
what you
hate. Yes,
I think it's dishonest.
You're,
I think
you're trying to pull on the heartstrings of someone without letting them know, like all Humanaut stuff is very winky. It's very like, hey, we know this is just an ad. You know this is just an ad. And we're still just people doing the best, funniest shit that we can.
And I'm open. Like, we actually did. We made a board game one time. It was called The Game That Goes There. And it was actually for, it was a family whose daughter commits suicide. And they wanted to, we're getting dark here on this podcast, but like, they wanted to create a game that would I don't even know if the brief said it was to create a game, but they wanted our help to advertise, to like let people, to prevent suicide, I guess, right? So we like created this game where it just had questions where people could just talk about their feelings, and so that, because a lot of the time when people commit suicide, it's like they're just keeping things to themselves. Would this really make a difference? I don't know. Like, would people, I would hope so. I mean, the guy who played Draco Malfoy in Harry Potter really liked it, apparently. He was like friends with like one of them, and then he loved it, and he would carry the cards in his pocket. But I was fine with that because that actually came from an honest place. Mm. We made a game that was about talking about feelings, and we were like, this is cool, this is honest. So you can talk about emotional stuff, but it has to be honest, and I could just smell the contrived, like, you know, bullshit honesty. So yeah, like I said, it's not that you can't do this emotional stuff. It just has to be honest. Mm-hmm. And
there has to be a reason, right? Yeah. Like, you're not gonna do an irreverent, funny campaign about suicide.
And it came from the family that their daughter killed themselves. Like, they're being honest,
right?
Like, and we're trying to help them honestly,
right?
And we're like, so, and it was like, and I think it was a good product. I don't think it was glib. We weren't like, we're like, all right, we're gonna help people talk. We weren't actually thinking that we're saving the world. We're like, maybe this will help. And it went with a documentary that they made about their daughter, and they just wanted people to open up. It felt honest. Mm-hmm. Going back to the thing that I want to say, like, if you're good, I'm collaborating with people at Humanaut, and we're all making each other better, and there's so much more strength to sharing your secrets, and other people help you back, and you all become stronger together. And if you're truly good, there is no competition. There's not enough good people in the world, right? It's the mediocre people that are worried about, you know, losing their jobs because they're very replaceable. But if you're truly ambitious and you're good, and you can become good by being open and listening to, you know, openness is a very important part of being good. There's people that have come to Humanaut that, like, they were just too stubborn and they didn't take it in. And, like, I was always good. I had the talent, but I think a good quality that I had and that other people who have, like, gotten better have had is that they're open and they're willing to listen. And in the history, there would be, like, good artists that would hang out together and inspire each other. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's yeah, take my secrets and then, like, contact me and then let's work together. And it's, like, there's only benefit to being collaborative. I think it's actually almost even an illusion that everyone's doing things, like going back to like people doing things by themselves. Like the best people are collaborating and are not worried about the competition. If they're worried, there's a reason they feel like insecure. They're not really, you know, they're not really that good. But yeah, it's I truly believe in collaboration for pragmatic reasons as well as it just makes you feel good. Mm-hmm. I want to feel good.
Yeah.
I don't want to feel more fun. It's ruthless fun. And
totally.
Yeah, like I said, going back to that girl, she like had all these like bad ideas, like she was projecting her. Like I was like, I just want to have a good time. I just want to like, you know, when
yeah, it's more fun to it's more fun to laugh with other people in the room.
Yeah.
Right. So I mean, thank you. Also, you've been very generous with your ideas, and it's annoying what a good copywriter you are, and very inspiring to me.
I'm more a better idea guy than a copywriter, but it translates. Like I actually had to work at the copywriting more, but like you can do it. You can craft it if you have the good ideas. Same thing with visual. Like I mean, if you have the good ideas, you can craft it if you know what you're aiming for.
Right.
That's where taste comes in. Anyway, go on. No problem. Yes. Go on.
Keep complimenting. I interrupted you while you're complimenting me. Let me know. No. What are you working on with your game? And how can people stay involved if that interests them?
No, for sure. I mean, I do want to say in advance, like I'll give a URL, which is bestfrenemiesgame.com. You can that's not the reason I went on the podcast, by the way, but... I think there's some interesting parallels to developing your own brand after and, you know, working on other people's brands for so long. The website is not complete yet, but it will be. It'll look nicer soon. it's really internal now, but whatever, fuck it. Go there, subscribe, join the newsletter. We're going to have a Kickstarter within some number of months. But yeah, I'm making a game called Best Frenemies. The reason why I'm doing this is because... You know, advertising is great. I'm having a good time, but I'm not really seeing the, you know, I'm making people, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars or me together with other people. Like literally, like we helped Hello with their campaign and then they got bought by Colgate for like $1 billion almost or something. So, and then I don't see that. So, hey, I want a little piece. And by the way, this is not even to be like rich for the sake of being rich. I'm not actually not a materialistic person, but I want the freedom to do my own projects. It's really like everything is just back to like just being able to live a free creative life. So that's part of it, but also I want to do projects that I enjoy. Like I'm not just like trying to like start like investment properties. Like probably the most profitable things are boring. So I'm trying to find like that Venn diagram sweet spot of like something I like but that could make money. Mm-hmm. And games is one of them. I love games.
But what is the game?
Yes, true. Good question. See, you're very good. You're good. What's it called?
What's the
person that's... Yes, I know. I go on tangents. My mind wanders, which is part of why I'm good. But
yeah, you're episode 350-something. So.
Yes.
Done it once or twice.
You're an expert. No, but the game... it's a party game. It's a party game. Where there's four categories... It's physical, mental, emotional, and creative. And you do these one-on-one challenges against other people in the group, and there's a judge, and the judge determines a winner. And then the winner becomes the next judge. Judge picks a next person, and it goes around the room. So pretty simple in theory. Pretty simple game, but that's by design. Because I worked on some games before, which are great games. I I always have a good time working with my buddy Gord. Worked on it was called Of Dreams and Shadows, and there was a follow up called Lost Ones, and those were like fantasy games. But the issue with those, they're good games, but it's like a small, you know, it's fantasy is much more niche. Plus, plus you're going up against like Dungeons and Dragons like magic cards. And like the fantasy games that do the best are the ones that like have a million figurines, which is very expensive to do. And really the reason why people want those is they want to use it for their Dungeons and Dragons games. Mm. And plus I'm not really a fantasy right. guy myself. I love creating things, but I want to make something that was more broad, like Cards Against Humanity. Cards Against Humanity has been out for a while. And I feel like maybe people are hungry maybe for the next game. And there's a lot of party games out there. But, you know, I don't think anything has quite hit like Cards Against Humanity. And I'm not going to say I'm not saying I'm going to do that, but that is the goal. I'm at least aiming high.
Right.
And the way that I'm doing that is simple game, but great copy, very well.
I was just going to say the reason Cards Against Humanity works is because of the copywriting.
Yes. So we're trying to have like great copywriting and along like great titles, great copywriting, great and illustrations for every single card designed by Mike Ellis. You can go to mikeellis.com to see his website, M-I-K-E-L-L, so the E is shared, M-I-K-E-L-L-I-S.com. He's done stuff for like the New Yorker, New York Times, Penguin Books. So like trying to like I said, like trying to hit a home run, like Cards Against Humanity is already big, trying to like, but none of their cards have pictures. I'm not saying they need pictures, but like I'm like, okay, that's another level of layer of effort. Like we just want to create this thing that when people see it, they're like, whoa, like the box is like full of illustrations, or it will be when it's done. I think the box on there right now is a placeholder box. But yeah, just trying to like, and the other thing that we're trying to do too is I feel like the weakness of Cards Against Humanity, but the strength as well is that the jokes come from the cards. Mm-hmm. So it's like low effort from the person. But because of that, I think it kind of gets a little stale. In this one, I'm trying to create something with the simplicity of Cards Against Humanity, but where the jokes come from you. I want to create more of a social experience. So like the physical ones, the physical cards are physical challenges, like do the most push-ups or like staring contests, like simple stuff that you can just do in a room with each other, like throw a piece of food in your mouth, right? But like all written in fun ways with fun illustrations and fun titles. Creative ones can be drawing, acting, doing an accent, folding origami, you know, stuff like that. Mental is like intelligence questions, but like the kinds of questions that like you don't just like do it once on the card and the card is done. Like so like lists or some philosophical questions, some ethical questions, right? Like things like that. Emotional is like personal stories, like things from you, like your worst stories. It's like getting you to a little bit of inspiration, admittedly, from the game that goes there. And the idea is that together these form the four components of a complete personality. So whoever gets one of each card is like officially the best person ever. And you don't have to finish the game. It's kind of like Cards Against Humanity, where there isn't officially an ending, but the real ending is whenever the Uber arrives to like go to the bar, you know. So
people can check that out. It's not out yet, but they can stay involved with that.
Yes,
by going to Best Friends.
Yes, and we made like a video for it for Kickstarter that's coming out. We shot it like it's my first real experience of taking a product from beginning to end, and then also because usually I create an ad and then I. You know, we send it like to the media company and they do everything. So like, but this is my first experience where I'm creating the ad for it. I had to make my own brief for the ad. We had to figure out our own messaging. We had to like, which is difficult once again, to like, you do get some tunnel vision.
Right.
When it's your own thing.
You need to hire an ad agency.
Yeah. But we did it. We pulled through. We asked people too. That's how we were able to do that. But like creating the video, the Kickstarter, talking to like agencies who can like help us to like, where do we put the social media or that, where do we put the ad spend? Where do we, so it's been a very interesting experience. Do you have any like I don't know what to say other than it's been like over 2 years. I've learned so much. It's been very rewarding but also so difficult. But it's been so important to me. I've had other projects I've tried in the past where like people like leave along the way, but I have like two partners on this one that like we're just like keeping each other going because it's so hard to like stay motivated. Like you get so excited in the beginning and like things are happening, and then you're like, all right, we got to meet every week. All right, we got it. Like, you know, and you're still excited. And the day that it comes out, it's like, it's
going to
be.
Yeah, I mean, it's going back to why I got interested in advertising in the first place. It's the collaborative nature of it.
Mm-hmm.
People make you better.
Yeah. But yeah, trying to apply the principles of advertising to it, like impressiveness, that it's like 300 cards, all illustrated, edginess, you know, ubiquitousness. It's kind of like Cards Against Humanity. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's... yeah, trying to apply the principles that I've learned to creating a product and hopefully, yeah, the beginning of many more products to come. I'd like, yeah, I'd like to get some royalties, some equity, some, you know, like I want to not work so many hours. I need to chill a little more. Going to the gym is hard.
Steven, you're a creative motherfucker.
Thank you. Thank you.
I appreciate you divulging all of your secrets and... culture is better because you're swinging around in it.
I'm trying. Every day I try. Try till you die.
Thanks so much for coming on the show, dude.
Of course. Thank you for having me. I hope people like this episode. We'll see. We'll see where it ranks in out of the 350 episodes.
You might get... I'm so
competitive.
One of my friends might hit you up.
That's fine. Whatever. I don't care.
how can people get... You're on LinkedIn? If they want to
I'm
in
on
touch
LinkedIn.
With you more for the
Steven
advertising
Steven Priestman, Priestman. Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn. My website, my personal website, StevenPriestman.com, StevenPriestman.com. Yeah, give me a shout. And I'm also, like, I'm also always down to help. Like, I really am just, I really am down to help anyone that has questions.
Low pressure.
Keep the good karma going in the universe.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's all love, man.
Yeah. Oh, I do have a question, actually. Maybe I just realized, like, would try to sue me if I... Maybe we should, let's bleep her name out. Bleep her name out in the is okay. That I'm like putting more...
I was planning on it.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Don't worry. I
was like, is this slander? It's all true, but like... Yeah, let's bleep her name out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was planning to.
Yes. You're so smart.
Steven, you're the best, man. Appreciate
Thank
you.
All right. So I'm new to this podcast game. Thank you, Kyle.
Bye.
Bye.
That's our show. Before you head off into your day, you can go to tierman.substack.com to get my newsletter, my articles, thoughts, ramblings. If you want to hear more from me, tierman.substack.com is the place to be. That's it for now. Thank you so much for tuning in. Get out in the water, whatever body of water is closest to you. Lake, river, bathtub, or ocean. I promise it will make your day better. See you soon.